to the Ron Jaworski Show. A big crowd on hand here at 7 Tap Tavern at the Downingtown Country Club. You're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show along with the great head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
A long time ago.
A world champion St. Louis Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs, Dick Vermeil. Great to have you with us, Coach.
Thank you.
It's like your whole neighborhood is here tonight,
yeah,
Coach.
I'm only about 12 miles away from
here. All right. And tonight's show, as always, is presented by Burns Honda, Jim McCormick, all the fine people over at Burns Honda. Visit them today at burnshonda.com. And, of course, Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience television. Track live scores right on your TV and easily switch between games with the sports app. And actually, Nick Jaffray and the Bradford Whitewater people, they are here tonight, Coach.
Oh, great.
They're joining us here out at the Downingtown Country Club, 7 Tap Tavern. Nick Jaffray, Bradford Whitewater Heaters, American-made, American-owned, and built to be the best. If you want to join me and, of course, Dick Vermeil here on the Ron Jaworski Show, you can reach us by dialing 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. It's great to have the coach with me. But before I get to the coach, usually I do this show with my friend Joe DeCamera. But Joe has moved on to another phase in his life, and I just want to personally on the air thank Joe for the incredible support that he has given me through the years of working with Joe here on the show. I mean, he is an incredible talent. I'm going to miss Joe, but for his life moving forward, I'm really happy for Joe and wish him the very, very best, Coach. And you know Joe did a lot with did and will still do a lot with the Maxwell Football Club.
He's a talent, you know. And now in the radio, they have free agents, right? They
can move free, that's right.
You'll get a better job.
You know, no one knows better than you about those free agents, Coach. Hey, and if you want to...
Bergman is such a classy guy.
Yep.
Really a nice man. He made me feel very comfortable. I went there prepared to talk football. I really spent time on Sunday and Monday getting ready to talk football. We never talk football the entire day, other than the prediction, and I was wrong there too. But anyway, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yes, it's always good to keep in touch with football, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Not on the field,
especially with those kind of guys.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the Eagles. Let's get right to it. You know, a disappointing loss against the Detroit Lions, and I feel it was one of those games, and I learned this from you, Coach. You got to beat the teams that you are better than.
Right.
And at least split with those teams that you're as good as or they're better.
Right.
This was a tough loss for the Eagles. They're better than the Detroit
Lions.
Oh,
no question. Now what they have to do is make up for it by beating someone they're not supposed to beat.
Like
Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe the Minnesota Vikings. Coming up, but it always hurts you at the end of the year playoff time when you've lost to a team that was losing. You try to keep the losers losing, and Detroit's probably a little better than they were playing prior to playing the Eagles, and Eagles beat them anyway. It was the poorest officiated NFL game I have seen since I retired.
Wow.
And I sit home on Sundays and watch them games. They were bad. They really were bad.
And
overall, period, for both sides.
Well, I mean, there are a number of calls. I mean, the Darren Sproles chop block was probably one of the best individual running back blocks I've ever seen. The official cannot call a chop block and understand what a chop block is.
Now, I could see how, Darren is so short. I could see how I could cut the guy some slack in making that call. But some of the other calls that they made were bad, and the calls that they didn't make were worse.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple of running plays that they got outside on our defense, they grabbed and held on to the guy. It stretched the jersey. Funny he didn't pull the jersey off, I'm trying to say. But anyway, it was I hope to heck that the NFL officiating organization reprimanded those guys and evaluated them and maybe give them a week off. And the other thing they ought to do is make all those guys donate their checks to charity for that one. They should get paid for that job.
Wow, that's pretty strong, Coach. But, hey, you've always been honest with your opinion.
Yeah.
Let's get to the quarterback. You know, you've made your life as a head coach developing quarterbacks. Go back to Roman Gabriel with the Rams.
He developed me.
Yeah, well, John Shire at UCLA. Myself in Philadelphia, Kurt Warner in St. Louis, Trent Green in Kansas City. You know, you've developed a lot of quarterbacks that have played a lot of good years in the National Football League. When you watch a young quarterback like Carson Wentz, how surprised are you that in his rookie year he can play this well early in the season?
Well, he's way above and ahead of schedule, okay? We know that. But when you watch him play, you don't see a rookie playing NFL football. You know, and I could tell some jokes on you in regard to your rookie year going into against the Pittsburgh Steelers in a preseason game. Ron goes back on a seven-step drop and could have got tackled in the end zone. He just kept dropping. You know, he was so excited and so fired.
A little juiced up, Coach.
A little juiced up. But this guy, all sincerity, he appears to me to be the best young talent I've seen, really. I haven't seen anybody do as well as he's doing. And he's got a good supporting cast. That's enough. And the coaches have done a great job with him. They really have. They're at criming. If we'd have been throwing some of the stuff, because with you, we're making you go downfield all the time.
Yep.
Okay, but these guys.
Completion percentage will be a lot lower when you're throwing 20, 30 yards downfield.
You take 10% off it. Easy.
Yeah.
But they're doing a great job of getting him started in the game with the quick screens, the bubble screens, and the true seven-step drop pump screens. Those kind of things, the quick stuff. In fact, I would like to personally see him go, like to see him go downfield early to sort of, those corners last week were squatting on him.
And that's probably what will happen, Coach. As you move forward, you know, people are going to start sitting on routes.
They were sitting on him the other day.
Yeah, this is clearly, you know, underdog, a short, quick passing game. Yeah. But eventually, you got to dust those corners off.
And there isn't.
You got to get him in the back pedal.
Right, and there's no limitation to what the kid can throw.
Right.
He has a strong arm like you did. But he has the ability to take stuff off it, zip it, and drop it, put trajectory on it, and drop it in behind people, soft. And but the thing that's really impressive, I compare him to Kurt Warner in his poise in his first games played. No, Kurt Warner had 14 snaps of NFL experience and played like a true veteran the minute he stepped on the field. This kid's done the same thing.
But Kurt had some training camp experience.
He had World League experience
and Arena League experience.
What made, I've told you that many times.
Right.
The Arena League really developed Kurt Warner.
Mm. Well, Coach, you and I sit, you know, at Soul Games right there in the front row, and whenever you see, you know, a Dan Radabaugh quarterback here with the Soul throw a ball, you turn to me and always go, now I see why Kurt Warner became such a terrific NFL quarterback. The quick release, the changing of the platforms, and it's so important that guys play.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You have to be on the field and play the game, even if it's Arena League, Canadian League, whatever it may be. Guys need to play.
The Arena League, though, the quickness of everything. I mean, forces the quarterback to throw the ball now, regardless. And those, you win it all because he could make quick decisions now, bang, and then throw the ball accurately. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very impressed with the guy, and I think he would be an NFL player. I've said that all along, but he'd have to be in the right system with the right coaching staff.
Yeah. You know, as I've studied the tape on this Eagles offense, one thing that jumps out at me is their faith and their confidence in Carson, and the formation that shows me that, and I'd like you to embellish on it, they've gone empty an awful lot.
No
one in the backfield. Yeah. Five potential receivers in a rush to get out. And I know there's like two philosophies. Some coaches hate to do that because they put their quarterback in harm's way because, you know, some defense use that BTF, blitz the formation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rex Ryan, you go empty, he's going to hit your quarterback.
As soon as you go empty.
Yeah, as soon as you go empty, I say, you're willing to go empty, I'm going to hit your quarterback. But, you know, he has handled that so well.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, the coaching staff, not only Doug Peterson, but Frank Wright, John DeFilippo, these guys
have
great experience. And quite honestly, I was surprised they go as empty as they do. Do you feel that's an advantage for a young quarterback when you spread the field, the width of the formation defines the defense?
Well, first off, it puts the defense in a position to where they're either going to have to do something and go with the spread, or they're going to have to do some drastic. Even with our great offense in 99, when we would go empty from time to time, we would almost automatic get everybody coming. And you better get rid of the ball. And better know what you're going to do with the ball. They'd just come after you.
Yeah.
And they would give up some coverage to get you. And they would get you if you didn't get rid of the ball quickly. But I'm surprised that they do it as much as they do. They do it as much as they do because they have confidence in Carson. CC, confidence in Carson.
Yeah.
And they see him on the practice field, which I don't see him on the practice field. And they know what he can handle. And the fact that, you know, they can't practice like you used to practice.
Oh, man.
It's against the law to go to work.
That's your peeve. I know that. That's one of your pet peeves.
You can't work like you used to work.
What do you say, Coach? No one has ever gotten any better by practicing less?
Yeah. No correlation between working less and getting better. Wow. Absolutely none.
But the new CBA, you know, doesn't allow you to have the contact, the long practices.
Off-season work. Yeah, you and I were over in the old stadium throwing, well, in the summertime.
That's why my arms are different lengths, Coach. I threw so many passes.
But you can't do that anymore. So it's a real credit. First, it really defines how talented the young man is. The other thing, I've had some success in years past coaching kids out of Montana, the Dakotas, Idaho, those kind of states. And not that they're backward. But they're a little, the kids are raised a little the old-fashioned way. And they're very humble. They're very authentic type kids. There's not a bunch of baloney to them. You know, and Carson Wentz, now he's the name in the league right now, okay?
Yep.
His first break, he gets his crossbow and goes buck hunting. A lot of kids, if the kid had been coming from the Big Ten somewhere, he might have gone to L.A. and look for a pinup girl or something, you know, Playboy club. They think differently.
I think they close those clubs.
they think differently. I compare them a lot like when you coach a kid that's come from a military family, that's lived with that kind of discipline all through his life and moved all over the United States and the world, and then all of a sudden you're coaching them, and they're ready to be coached. They're really, and they keep that great frame of mind.
So when you're coaching, in your great career, and you're evaluating talent, particularly at the quarterback position, a position of leadership, are you looking for those intangibles the kid from Fargo, North Dakota, as opposed to the kid from the big city and the glamour and all that? Are you looking for that young player, not only a quarterback, that's grounded?
Yeah, oh, no question. Especially if you're going to invest a lot of money in him and a high pick. You know, I can't believe that the Rams didn't take him. Now, the Rams take a guy. He might end up being real good. I don't know.
I know
he wasn't good enough to suit up for the first game of the season.
Right.
Okay. Now, he got a little heat, so they suited up the second game.
Yeah, he got in 3 days of practice. The kid just became terrific.
Yeah, and he suited up for the second game. Still hadn't played.
Yeah.
And they're the second worst league in football, and he's still not playing.
Yeah.
First offense, rather. So, you know, how you could miss on that and not see all that obvious talent surprises me.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me because I went out to Fargo and I spent time.
I know you told me.
I spent time out there with Carson, with about everyone you can imagine in Fargo, his coaching staff, his teammates, his coaching staff, and went up in the stands and talked to people. Went to some of the local watering holes and just tried to drill down a little bit, and you couldn't find a blemish on the young man. So you know he had that. But still, can he play football? Those intangibles are great.
Yeah.
And his tape show that he could play.
Yeah.
And here's what I got to come with you, Coach, because this is one of my pet peeves around draft time as I study all these quarterbacks. Then I do all these shows at ESPN, and I talk to all these scouts that, you know, make a living in evaluating talent. And no disrespect to them, but I find it difficult arguing with an offensive lineman in his playing days and he's evaluating quarterbacks. Just a peeve. I'll vent a little bit, Coach.
I understand.
But when you see a Carson Wentz and you see the ball come out of his hand, it's mind-boggling to me. How can you not get that right?
How can you complicate it?
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed to me that would have been very simple. Hey, he'd walk away from like you did. This kid can play.
Yeah, and then you come back and I say, this kid's terrific. And then he went to a small college and he didn't play in the SEC and the Pac-12. And
That has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
Tell Joe Flacco that. So maybe it will. Maybe to a certain degree, like Tom Brady being the 199th player selected in the sixth round of his draft, Tom is still ticked off about that.
Yeah.
And he's still got the chip on his shoulder. And maybe this will be something where Carson Wentz, all these people doubted me from North Dakota State.
Yeah.
I'll show them it doesn't make a difference where you play. It's how you play.
Yeah.
And the young man has always played well.
Yeah. Well, I know this. I read a lot now that I have time, the military books, the Navy SEAL books and all that. And sometimes it's hard to predict the variables that make somebody really great under pressure. And the military services to this day, right now, are spending a lot of money researching so they can better determine who they can put in harm's way under pressure and who's going to respond real well. And some guys just have it, okay? okay, this kid has it. That's, you know, that he has it. You know, you had it. Kurt Warner had it. But you could take somebody with the same kind of talent that doesn't have it, and it's going to take him 2 or 3 years to become a player. This guy has it.
Yeah, how difficult is that to evaluate when you're watching a guy, you know, college tape, or even the 15 minutes you would get at a combine meeting with him? Do you get that quick, or does it take time? Because some guys are good BSers. You know, they can tell you what you want to hear, and then you got to drill down and, you know, really find out what a guy's about. How difficult is that?
Well, you know, I say this every once in a while. There are people that wouldn't know who a great quarterback is if he was in the bus and ran over top of him. There are just how many teams have just continually screwed up the quarterback position? And they've got 7 guys full-time making a lot of money scouting, and they still never come up with a quarterback.
Is this where you insert Cleveland Browns?
If you go through the league and take all 32 teams, you can start picking out which teams have really never drafted and signed their quarterback.
Wow.
Even Kansas City, I worked there. And Carl never had real good luck.
Carl Peterson, your general manager.
Get a quarterback. Yeah. You know, I bring Trent Green there, he makes a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And he's not supposed to be that good. But sometimes, maybe it's luck. But, you know,
you always had a formula, and you've talked about this.
And a feel.
A left tackle, a quarterback, and a running back.
Running back and a pass rusher. And go play.
Take those four. Those play. Are four They're, spots. Yeah.
And Sid Gilman always said, you only invest a lot of money in an offensive lineman if he's a Hall of Famer. Otherwise, get him later on and coach him. The problem is now is you don't get the time to coach him.
Yeah.
So that's why the offensive lines are struggling right now.
Struggling would be an understatement. Right. I'm at my office today. And Jason's sitting over here, Jason Jones, my assistant, and watching some of the worst offensive line play you've ever seen. Miami Dolphins started a left guard and left tackle who they cut the next day.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco won't make 2 more games with the 2 tackles in front of him.
Yeah.
Atrocious offensive line play.
Because they aren't all first-round picks anymore. There's not enough of them. And secondly, they don't give those coaches enough time to coach them. Coaches used to get a lot of individual time with their players to help develop them. And they used to get a lot of pad work and a lot of tempo work all through the season to develop these kids. And in the offseason to develop, they don't get that anymore. And the offensive linemen, they need as much work and time as a quarterback does. Plus, the guy that they're against doesn't like them. I mean, there's always a fight. It's a combat.
How much has the college game, the spread offense, impacted the poor play of offensive linemen in the NFL?
I don't know I think it's impacted positively the play of the quarterbacks. Yeah. Offensive linemen, I don't know if there's any trickle down.
They don't pass protect.
Yeah. Because they just get rid of the ball and dump
it.
But I think there's a lot of stuff going on the NFL right now. All came from college. They're learning from them. But college guys have more time with their kids.
Even with the 20-hour rule,
with padded practices and all that, they have more time. You just, the big guys like Jason right there, they need a lot of work. They need a lot of work. At a tempo with which is going to assimilate and be similar to what they see Sunday.
Yeah. Well, which would now take me to my next question to you. The Eagles be starting a rookie right tackle. Obviously, Lane Johnson has been suspended for 10 games.
Dumb.
Well, okay. I quadruple that as well. Now you're going to start a rookie, Vitae, at right tackle. Now, all the reports, he's been a great running scout team in practice. Brandon Graham says, boy, he's done a great job on me in practice. How difficult is it to project a guy at practice? Now he's got to line up against a Ryan Kerrigan of the Washington Redskins on Sunday, not having played a meaningful snap in the NFL.
Well,
what do you do with that guy?
If you see him in practice at hot tempo, then he can transfer that to the game. The only thing he has to do game day is play like he's been there before. The last game I ever
So you see a projection of your practice performance to the field?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What breaks him down many times is they get so nervous and uptight, they're jumping off sides, and, you know, their own personality eats him up. We went to Dallas my last year at the Eagles. with Jerry Sizemore not able to play, we played Frank Giddens, the first 300-pound tackle I ever coached, a free agent. The last free agent we signed, you know, we had, honey, he started the game, played the whole game into Alice, shut out two tall Jones, and we won the football game. So it can be done. Right. It can be done. But I liked him on a practice field. I mean, he just kept doing a pretty damn good job. Right. I used to say, don't go on what you think. Go on what you see. Right. If you see him doing it, he can do it. Now he just got to transfer that as long as the tempo is like game day tempo.
You're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with the great legendary coach Dick Vermeil. We're coming to you live from the Seven Tap Tavern at the Downingtown Country Club, and great crowd on hand, having a blast talking ball. And coach, but you know, you can say all the praise you want about a Frank Giddens coming in and filling in. And I'm sure Doug Peterson, Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach, are confident Vitae can step in and play. That being said, what if he can't? What is plan B?
Well, they have a plan B. Then they kick the guard out, tackle, and bring in Wisniewski and let him play.
Do you keep a tight end in? Do you keep a back end? Do you chip? Do you help him? Do you have that as part of the plan?
It also depends on who they're playing against. Maybe they get a break this week.
Kerrigan's going to be on that side, and Kerrigan's had 3-4 defensive end to play now. Yeah,
he can play.
Yeah, so he'll be a load.
I'll be surprised if he doesn't play well. Yeah. Now, I saw him at left guard in the preseason game. He didn't play very well. He didn't play very well. Because
it's usually a harder transition moving outside than
I know,
outside
but
the
at
inside.
Guard position, they go left or right on you.
Yeah.
Tackle position, chances are the only way he's going to go is outside you. Mm. And I'm still a firm believer all our coaches set too deep for those tackles. They really do. They set too deep and let the guy keep running, get accelerate. And by the time he finally makes contact with the offensive tackle, he's parallel with the quarterback.
Right.
I
know
Jerry
Wamper.
Jerry Wamper. We used to set a lot shorter. We started the battle closer to the line of scrimmage. So if we did lose him, quarterback could see it coming.
Yeah. You know. But now you get in these known passing situations, and you got to. Pass rushing specialist a la Dwight Freeney comes on the field.
Oh, my God.
You know, Jason Pierre-Paul, and they're lined up 4 yards outside that tackle. Yeah. I mean, so it's almost impossible to set short on those types of players. So,
well, but they even in that situation, their drops are normally a little more straight back, and they don't take much like a 45-degree drop out to the wider offensive lineman because – line coaches, a lot of them are scared. Now they're going to come in. I would rather go out and still meet him sooner. Mm-hmm. I would meet him.
That punch.
I'd start combat earlier.
Try to stone him a little bit earlier. Yeah. Right? You know, so many good things happening. You know, with the Eagles right now at 3-1, and we had a chance before the regular season started. Thanks to you, you invited myself, Vince Papale, and Doug Peterson out to your house after the preseason. And we got a chance to just hang out with Doug, and we've all known him for a long time.
And Jeannie.
And Jeannie, his wife. Yeah. And it was great. Coach did the barbecue, had some of that great Vermeil wine. and you could sense. I got the sense, and I know you did too. You would have invited us out there if you didn't feel you wanted our opinions to help Doug in this community. And he felt so secure and comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah.
And I think that was so important, and you see that now.
Yeah.
You know, there's no bravado. He just does his job. He's the same guy he was when he was quarterbacking the Dolphins in the early 90s and playing for Don Shula as he is now as an NFL head coach. Yeah. How important is that you're kind of transparent with your team?
Yeah. He has a great demeanor about him, and both off the field and on the field and game day. And it's great if you could start out where he is. Many times, like I was, I start out way too intense and gradually learn to back it off a little bit.
When did that happen?
Never. No. But
I must have missed that backing down period, Coach.
But I really, really think he's going to be one of our special coaches. And I have such great confidence in Andy Reid. Andy Reid would not send us somebody he didn't really believe in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, hey, we know the success Andy had here, except for winning the big one. Hopefully, Doug can.
That's not a real good evaluation thing to me. Everyone now bases if you're a good coach, whether you won the Super Bowl, or if you lost it. You know, I did a better job coaching the Eagles a little way in terms of who is a quality coach and who isn't by whether you go to the Super Bowl or win it.
And win the Super Bowl.
And win the Super Bowl. Yeah. Since we won the Super Bowl, I'm always introduced as Coach Dick Vermeil, winning Super Bowl. No one ever introduced me as Coach Dick Vermeil, loser of the Super Bowl. They never introduced me that way. You know,
Why do you think?
I just think it's the American way. The only way they really look at that game is who won it.
Yeah.
Takes as much or more to get there and lose as it did to get there and win. You got to say, you guys did more to get there and lose than we did to get there and win in 3 years. Worked harder, longer, tougher. Unbelievable. We just didn't get done that day. That's all. Yeah. Crummy. Yeah. And that's the way it goes. It's not Major League Baseball. How would you like to have the best of seven?
Yeah, I wish we would.
World Series. Best of seven.
Hey, you know, I still run into Jim Plunkett, Matt Millen, all those guys that beat us in that Super Bowl. And that's what they say. You know, you guys were the better team, but it was one game. We were the better team that day. If it was a five-game series or a 70-game series, you guys probably would have won.
Yeah.
But we picked a bad day to have our bad game, and that's the way the way it falls sometimes.
Coaches as well.
Yeah. But, we got some callers online, Coach. Let's go out to let's see. We got Dennis out in East Windsor. Dennis, welcome to the Ron Jaworski Show with head coach Dick Vermeil, the legend here in Philadelphia. What do you have for us, Dennis?
Hey, great to speak to both of you guys. You know, Jaws, back about 20 years ago, I was a banquet waiter, and I happened to be serving your area of the golf, you know, tournament thing, and you were just a great gentleman to everybody that was around you, all the servers. You were just a great guy then, and I'm glad for you and your Philadelphia Soul Championship there the other, you know, a couple
like
weeks back. So congrats to you and everybody.
Coach is
else.
Part of the ownership group as well, so he appreciates that those kind words.
Well, I mean it. And then just going back one thing, you know, Donovan McNabb, in my opinion, should be a Hall of Famer, just like Coach was saying. You know, three NFC championship games, one appearance in the Super Bowl, you know, not having any real wide receivers. And then when he did have one, they went to the Super Bowl. But that's not the reason why I called. I'm trying to think, you know, right now with Carson Wentz, not having guys like, you know, Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, or even Shady kind of on the team, how do the Eagles kind of plan on putting those pieces together, you know, knowing that Chip Kelly kind of really, you know, took and dismantled, you know, what, you know, you just can't find that, you know, right laying around. I mean, how do you move forward?
Well, I tell you, it makes it tougher, but I go back to saying again that coaches are given less time to develop players that need development. And, you know, to take a kid and coach him and make him better. And the only way you can do that is stay on the practice field and work and put him in an environment that's close to game day Sunday so he can gradually improve his skills till he can perform at a level equivalent two other Super Bowl quality players, and you can do that if you're given time. And I think the league is hurting themselves by not giving them enough time to do that, Charlie. But it's not automatic when you draft a guy in the first round you're going to get Mike Quick. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not especially the wide receiver position.
And Coach, you know, in today's NFL, and the NFL has always pushed for parity.
Yeah.
You know, they want every team to be 8-8.
Yeah.
And that makes for great competition. It's hard to argue with the success of the NFL historically. Ratings may be down a little bit now, but, you know, this is still the monster professional football league. That being said, you can't be great at every position.
Yeah.
You can't have a great quarterback, great wide receivers, awesome running back, and an all-pro offensive line. So how do you, you know, when you are coaching, how do you pick and choose the areas that you focused on to address to be a champion?
Well, number one, like you said it earlier, I started with a quarterback. You know, you're kidding yourself if you're going to win without one. You're just not going
to. That's where you have to applaud Howie Rose.
Then you better have a left tackle.
Day one. Yeah.
You better have a left tackle.
Right.
And if you're a left-handed quarterback, you better have a right tackle. You better have him. You got those two guys in place. Now you better have a running back. Okay. And you get that? No, you got that core right there. Now you better have a guy that can rush a passer on the other side to force their quarterback to do the things poorly. You know what I mean? And you've got to have those guys.
From a defensive perspective, you would put the premium on pass rusher.
Yeah, on a pass rusher. And when I first came to Philadelphia, I put the whole premium on just playing defense well enough to keep the game close enough that one play could win it. And we built a pretty darn good defensive day without any first-round draft choices. Right. You know, I don't know if we had any. We got Jerry Robinson
in 79.
Yeah, but there weren't any on there when we got here.
Up until then, your first pick was like a fourth rounder for 3 years.
Yeah, my first pick in the first year was a fourth round pick. Wow. We drafted a defensive end. We had a cutting. He wasn't quite good enough. But, you know, in the Rams, they had Kevin Carter. Now, he hadn't been playing like a Pro Bowl. But yeah, we got him playing like a Pro Bowl.
Oh, he sure did.
He got 18 sacks Super Bowl here.
Wow.
But, a lot of times, too, for a young player, it's dependent on how tough the schedule is early in the year. How many? For example, let's say you're a right tackle this Sunday. How many snaps does he have to take against a real good football player?
Right.
Or just another average guy? You know, and so all those things have to be evaluated.
All right, Coach, we'll go out to Mike. He's got a question. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Ron Jaworski Show. Mike's out in Mantua. Welcome, Ron Jaworski. Dick Vermeil, what do you got for us, Mike?
Hi, guys. Thank you very much. Hey, Ron, I play your courses all the time. I love it. They're great places to play. And, Coach, you signed an autograph for me umpteen years ago, and I can't thank you enough. It was awesome.
Thank you.
So here's my question. We've heard a lot of all day long on the show about should he throw in a pass at the end of the game, should he throw in a pass at the end of the game. I want to know from a coach and from a quarterback, should he have thrown that pass?
Yes, should have thrown it. First off, the receiver should, if he isn't going to catch it, should not allow the other guy to catch it. Okay? And the same receiver screwed up a pattern in the end zone, turning over the inside of the field. The ball's being thrown over his outside shoulder, where you coach that way from day one.
Slot fade.
I thought a very poor route by him, poor fundamental. He's a young kid. Wow. He's got to learn. He should have prevented the interception. And I've seen many times pass interference called on that type of grab your arm a little bit there like their defender did, but it wasn't called. Right. But I don't fault the throw downfield like that. It was a beautiful throw. It was right there.
It was right there. A defensive back. Slay made a heck of a play on it, Coach.
a great receiver might have made that same play, but in his hands.
Yeah. See, Mike, I saw it a little bit differently. I thought it was the first play in four games where I thought Carson Wentz got a little bit frenetic.
Yeah.
They had a little under route,
right,
number one. So I thought his drop was going to be in the gun, three steps, hit the under. Now, they played alert coverage. You know, they gave that cover to, and the safety came back down.
Yeah.
So usually that read tells you go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You're taking away those in-breaking routes. And I thought Sproles had a good matchup on Whitehead, a linebacker in the flat with a little rub element. Now, he may have been a second or third option, but he was open. And I think Carson took a seven-step drop out of the gun. He got 12 yards deep, 12 yards in a step, and all of a sudden that pass rush got and forced him to panic a little bit, and he did throw the ball up.
Well, you know, you see more than I do. And I'm sitting home watching TV, and of course you've watched it since then too. But I didn't fault him on that. I really felt, to me, I have never seen him in the five games that he's played look like he panicked in any situation.
Yeah, that was the first time I thought, Coach.
And I didn't think he did it then. But I know this: if he'd have completed it. Everybody would have said,
oh, what a gunslinger.
Great decision.
Right. Hey.
You know, gunslingers get killed, too.
Oh, yeah. Remember that. See, we all have the right answer when we have access to the results, Coach.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with Dick Vermeil. We are coming to you live from the 7 Tap Tavern at the Downingtown Country Club. Hey, if you're in the area, come on by. A lot of golfers coming off the golf course right now. We'll be back with much more right after this.
After the Birds' first loss of the season, the Eagles now look to right the ship with an NFC East battle in D.C. against the Redskins. Keep it on the Fanatic as we get you ready for the game with the best insight and analysis from the biggest names in football. This is Philadelphia's football station, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Bird Scrapper of the Week is brought to you by Sergeant Scrap Mobile Scrap Metal Service. The Birds fell to the Lions 24-23 in a nail-biter Sunday afternoon, giving them their first loss of the season. Throughout the game, veteran running back Darren Sproles found space and moved the chains in both the run and pass game, in total notching 13 touches for 68 yards, pacing the offense. The Bird Scrapper of the Week is powered by Sergeant Scrap Mobile Scrap Metal Service. You scrap with the rest, now scrap with the best.
Need cash? Got scrap? Call the Sergeant at Sergeant Scrap Mobile Metal Service. With scrapyard locations in Pensauken and Haddon Township, you can go to them or call for their mobile scrap metal on-site pickup. They come to your location, weigh and pay you top dollar for your scrap metal. Serving the entire East Coast, you can trust Sergeant Scrap with honest, dependable service. It's why they have earned a reputation for being the best in the scrap metal business. Schedule your mobile scrap pickup today by calling 855-4-SGT-SCRAP. Online at sgtscrap.com.
Hey guys, did you know that Family & Company Jewelers is the Delaware Valley's largest diamond destination? We all know that when you're ring shopping, cost is a big factor. Well, Family & Company has a deal for Fanatic listeners. Go to 975thefanatic.com and enter keyword ring to get $500 off the center diamond on any Verragio engagement ring. You can visit their showroom on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, but first, go to 975thefanatic.com and enter keyword ring to save $500. Get the right ring at Family & Company Jewelers.
Ron Jaworski here to invite you to come out and experience all we have to offer at my signature golf courses. We aim to create memorable experiences for everyone. From phenomenal river views to the natural beauty of the Pine Lands, you will appreciate the condition of all our golf courses. You will embrace the challenge. You will marvel at the views. You'll enjoy it when you're here. I love it. You'll love it too. Visit RonJaworskiGolf.com.
Philly, WWE is about to take over. Get ready for WWE Monday Night Raw. Televised worldwide from Wells Fargo Center. Monday night, December 12th. See WWE Universal Champion Kevin Owens. Seth Rollins.
Did you miss me?
U.S. Champion Roman Reigns.
I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm just the guy.
Rusev. Tag Team Champions, The New Day. Chris Jericho.
Drink it in, man.
Women's Champion Sasha Banks.
I'm the boss. Legit.
Charlotte and more. Monday night, December 12th at Wells Fargo Center. It's the best value in entertainment. Tickets start at just $20. Tickets available 10 a.m. this Saturday at the box office and WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Hey, sports fans. Football season's here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie.net. MyBookie has real Vegas odds and incredible player props for all your favorite sporting events. Did the game already go off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has in-game live action on all pro and college football games this season. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Go online and type in MyBookie to open an account and start playing with the big boys. MyBookie has proven to be the most exciting online experience for all sports fans. Pull out your smartphone and visit our user-friendly mobile site. Open your browser and type in MyBookie. What are you waiting for? Visit MyBookie today. Call 844-722-2387. That's 844-722-2387. Or visit MyBookie online today. MyBookie is the real deal. Only the biggest. Only the best. Only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions apply. Play for fun only. Void where prohibited.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 33.
You're invited to a celebration 125 years in the making at the Peebles Anniversary Sale. Starting Wednesday, enjoy 9 days of savings, like 40% off fashion boots for her. And take an extra 50% off clearance with your coupon to save up to 85% off original prices. Plus, on Saturday, be one of the first 125 customers in store for a chance to win your share of over $1 million in cash and prizes. At Peebles, part of our stage family. Exclusions apply. See store for giveaway details.
Style inspired by you.
As a pro, every job matters. And I know that I could always trust Lowe's to help me get the job done right. With big discounts on bulk purchases, I spend less time shopping around and more time getting the work done.
Now through November 1st at Lowe's, come into your local Lowe's store and get 20% off all in-stock fiberglass insulation. Hurry in today and visit the Pro Desk in-store for details. Valid October 5th, 2016 through November 1st, 2016. U.S. only.
Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. Track live scores right on your TV and easily switch between games with the sports app.
Welcome back to Ron Jaworski Show. Dick Field, big crowd on hand here at the 7 Tap Tavern at the Downingtown Country Club. It's getting more crowded as the golfers come off the golf course on a beautiful day to play some golf here at Downingtown or anywhere else on a Ron Jaworski signature golf course, Coach. Always yeah. You got to get the props in.
My sons and grandchildren play here, and they love your course.
I got to buy
the price is right, too.
Always take care of the coach. And Honda is proud to present the Ron Jaworski Show, and I'm so excited to welcome back Burns Honda. I've been working with these guys, Jim McCormick and his team, for about 6 years now, and they're great. From service to sales, they can't be beat. My buddy Jim will take good care of you over at the dealership, located on Route 73 in beautiful Marlton, New Jersey. And they are ready to take great care of you like he's taken great care of me. If you're in the market for a new or used car, you have to go to Burns Honda. They have the 2016 North American Car of the Year, the Honda Civic. Burns also has 30-time Car and Driver, 10 Best winner, the Honda Accord, as well as a CRV, a Kelley Blue Book Best Buy. Looking for a used car? They have a large selection, including Burns Honda certified used cars with a real 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And unlike any other dealer, Burns warranty starts from the date of purchase and the actual miles on the odometer. And it covers virtually every make and model. So for your next new or used car, go to Burns Honda Marlton or shop at burnshonda.com today. And Devon, back in the studio, you've got a message as well.
The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by CarSense, where their certified used cars look like new and are guaranteed even better with the lifetime engine guarantee. Find out more at carsense.com. It's car sensational. Back to you guys.
Oh, Devon, that was like a voice from heaven. Just came down over us here at the 7 Tap Tavern. Thank you, my friend. Always good to have some fun with Devon. And Coach, we got that. It's great. Your big crowd down at the 7 Tap Tavern. Obviously, everyone very excited about this Eagle football team. And I know, you know, historically, you have always taken the season and broken it down into quadrants. Yeah. You know, four-game sections. You know, hey, I think the Eagles, quite honestly, should be 4-0 now after the game they lost in Detroit. Should have been a win, but that's over with.
Yeah.
Now when you look at the next quadrant, as a coach, how did you prepare your team for the next four games? Not only your upcoming opponent, like the Washington Redskins, but a tough road after that.
You know, I gradually moved to the approach where we went four games in a quarter. We've got to start the first quarter of the season. Rather than thinking of the whole season, just think right now, and here's where we are game one. Here's where we are game two, game three, game four. Then we'll stop at game four and look back to see what we do, what we haven't done, what we should be doing, and where we've got to go from here as we start our second quarter. And I don't know if it helped anything, but it gave me as a head coach an opportunity to better define what we have to do now within this period of time. And starting with the game at hand, like going to Washington D.C. is not an easy place to go.
No, I mean, that's gonna be a tough game.
I've watched him play now twice. Yeah. I like the quarterback. I really do. I like him. He's a good player,
and he's got excellent receivers around him. Yeah. Their offensive line is better, and Jay Gruden has built a solid football team. They're not necessarily a glamorous team.
No, they've had a lot of injuries on defense.
Their secondary is banged up right now. The Eagles should be able to take advantage of that, but. You know, when you look at Kirk Cousins, you know, he's three games against the Eagles, 8 touchdowns, only 1 interception.
Right.
He has played well.
Yes, he
last
has.
Season, Washington beat the Eagles twice.
Yeah.
Great come-from-behind win down there, and then the Eagles didn't play very well here at home, and that was a game that cost Chip Kelly his job, that poor performance. But anyone that would think the Eagles are going to down and play the Redskins just walk away with an easy win, got to be kidding themselves. Right now, they're getting into the meat of their schedule. Yeah.
See, and And we are a good football team.
Yes.
Eagles are a good football team. But from an offensive standpoint, and I can remember when we became great at the Rams, the three wide receivers that played most of the time, any one of them could score from anywhere on the field. We go to the backfield, you have Marshall Faulk. He could score from anywhere in the backfield. You punt the ball to Azakim, he could score anywhere on any punt return. You kick off the ball, a returner on a kickoff return could beat you on any one kickoff return.
Hence the greatest show on turf.
Right, and we don't quite have that kind of talent. So you take the approach that you ease the ball downfield, you know, and the shorter throws and all that kind of stuff. But I'd like to see them stretch the defense a little bit more with their second. And the wide receivers get better by playing more and keep asking them to do more. And these guys aren't great, you know, but I think they can get better and will get better under the tutelage of the coaching staff.
So what does Doug do? What does Frank Reich do in designing the offense if you don't have that guy? You know, you mentioned you had four guys in the Rams. They touch the football. They could handle the referee in the end zone. If you don't have that, what do you do?
Well, you take the approach they're doing right now. They're really throwing medium to short passes and working the ball downfield. But I still think you've got to go ahead and at least tell those corners we are not afraid to go downfield. Because last week I felt the corners were squatting on our outside wide receivers. They were sitting down at breaking points waiting for them to run the route. And our coaches are good enough to recognize that, believe me. And I think they will gradually put more responsibility on the receiver downfield to make a play. I know this, when he throws that deep stick pattern coming in or the four pattern coming inside there, like 2 weeks ago on 3rd and 12,
ripped it in there.
You know, and I love to see that kind of throw. And the other thing I think you got to keep doing is keep throwing the ball to a receiver in a position to run the ball right away. A lot of catches we make, our back is to the end zone, the direction we want to go. So we got to catch it and turn around and get running again.
And so, your Ram team, crossing routes gutted people with the crossing routes.
Where they could catch the ball and go like that and head to the end zone.
Right.
But all modern offenses are doing more of this other kind of stuff now. In fact, the guy that the Ravens just fired was a guy that did a hell of a job.
Mark Trestman.
With the Raiders doing all that nickel and dime stuff for a while. Yep. You don't assume the wide receiver can't make the play. Make him go play it. Make him go. Unless you're playing an all-pro corner that's going to eat you alive. Yeah, but they're not all – not many teams have all-pro corners.
You know, as you're talking, I'm reminiscing about some meetings with Sid Gilman, who's coaching the quarterbacks, our good run in late 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
And I could still hear Sid talking about, we're going to throw 1-9 a quarter. A nine route is a go route.
Go.
He goes, if we throw one go route a quarter, they will backpedal.
Yeah.
That will open up the intermediary. Mm-hmm. And if we just allow them to sit and squat, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
We need to dust them off. And I can still hear those words in my head when you allow people to get press, bump, and run, and the quarterback doesn't challenge him, or the play calling doesn't challenge him.
Right.
Was that kind of approach? Yeah, you had Azakim, you had Isaac Bruce, you had Ricky Prohl. Yeah. You had all guys that could take it and run with it.
Yeah, and the great thing about the crew that I had there is if they caught a six-yard pass, they could go 94 with it. Then if you asked them to go 18, 30 yards downfield and catch the ball, they'd do that too. Yeah. So they had no limitation.
Now, as you mentioned that, I thought of that great Rams team, and the rules have since been relaxed.
Yeah.
So as you build your offense now, wouldn't you look for more explosive wide receivers? Because you can't touch a guy now. Yeah. You can't hit him with a fingernail and throw in the flag. These guys are getting free access all day.
All day. And, there are more of them coming out of college, too, because everyone's throwing the football.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing what you watch. Sit down and watch college football on Saturday. And the kind of catches college kids are making. I mean, it's amazing. But I'll tell you this. To project how he's going to do in the NFL as a wide receiver early in his career is tough to do. There aren't many Mike Quicks.
Well, most guys.
Or Torrey Holtz.
Or Torrey,
you draft them, put them on the field, and bam, they play.
Yeah.
You know. And, in fact, Bill Belichick told me that last time I visited with him. He said, it's getting really tough to draft a wide receiver. I just soon find a free agent that I've seen play a lot in the league. You know,
well, and, he's done that.
And he said that about inside linebackers
think,
as well.
Think of the Wes Welkers, and now, you know, the Hogan kid he picks up from Buffalo, someone else, a discard. All of a sudden, you know, they get in Belichick's offense and they're catching 6-7 balls a game.
Yeah.
Knows how to use those guys.
Right.
And we got some callers on the line, Coach. We'll reach out to Justin on his cell phone. And Justin, you want to know about the Eagles wide receivers. I think the coach may have just addressed that. But what do you got for us, Justin?
Hey, what's up, guys?
We're good.
Okay, so my question is, our receiving corps is not that good. And I'm thinking of somebody that we could acquire. And what do you think about Josh Gordon from Cleveland? Cleveland's already come out and said they're planning on moving on without him. But we could get him for pretty cheap. And even if he didn't play this year, just having him, he's the number one receiver.
Well, you know, the best player for position is not always the best player for a team. And he hasn't done anything yet but get in trouble. And, you know, by now you'd think he's going to mature. Maybe he won't. Maybe he will. But I probably would not take a chance on him.
You would hope a player like Josh Gordon would have gotten it by now.
Someone
would
get the message.
He hasn't gotten the message. Yeah. It's a waste of talent.
Yeah.
And I think if you begin to sign a guy like that, you enable him once again to find a way to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. I would agree with the coach. I think Josh Gordon needs to get his life in line before he worries about playing professional football.
And, you know, and let's hope he does.
Absolutely.
I root for those kind of kids.
Yeah.
I root for them.
Yeah.
You've got to go there and play error-free. You can't turn the ball over and play error-free. You know, you can't fumble when you got the game lit one. I mean, there's just absolutely no excuse for it. And Mitchell stood up and said, I have no excuse.
Oh, Ryan Matthews,
Matthews.
It was loose with the football. You got the ball in the wrong hand. You got to protect the ball with your body. They teach Pop Warner. It's just one of those things.
And here he is. He's on a rookie.
Yeah.
But that's the way. And he could have fallen down on the ground and taken a knee, and you win the football game.
And win the football game, right.
But they've got to stay positive in the turnover ratio, wherever they play.
Are they good enough to win the division?
Yes.
Dallas coming on? Dallas?
Dallas, if they get healthy on defense, they can really be a pain in the
ass.
They can run the ball. And this kid, Dak Prescott, he may not be Carson Wentz, but he ain't far behind him.
Well, he does some different things, you know.
Yeah, he can throw the ball accurately, and I don't think he has the variety of pitches that Carson has. Just what I've seen him play, but I'm extremely impressed with him.
And you know what?
He's a fourth round pick. Talk about the gurus.
Coach, get fired up now. All right. Hey, well, that'll do it for the Ron Jaworski Show. I want to thank the big crowd here at 7 Tap Tavern
out
at the Downtown
tonight.
Country Club. Appreciate everyone coming out. And a special thanks to just an unbelievable, incredible person. In my opinion, the greatest head coach in the National Football League. Will be in the Hall of Fame someday, the great Dick Vermeil. Coach Vermeil,
thank you so much. Thank you.
For you and Carol and the gang coming out here tonight and joining us here at the Downingtown Country Club. That'll do it for tonight's Ron Jaworski Show. We'll be back next week with another great show. Good night, everyone.